Hello, everybody, and welcome to RPG Cast 806 for the week of March 28th, 2026. I'm your host, Andy Privateer. Hello.
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 You know, I was sitting thinking yesterday that I was like, you know, it's me and it's Kelly Ryan and it's Matt Mason. This is like almost an RPG backtrack.
Could
even though
be.
It's the RPG cast. And I was sitting there yesterday going, oh, we should do a skit. And then everybody would be so confused.
Yeah.
The opening of the RPG cast. And then I was like, you know, this is the reason that Chris doesn't want me to host when he's not here, isn't it?
Could be. We do bad jokes now.
I only do bad jokes.
Yeah.
Listen, I am locked into my dad joke era.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the worse the better. when we do our jokes.
I chaperoned my son's field trip the other day, and his teacher is 30 years old. And a couple times, she just turned to me like after somebody said something, she's like, "Go ahead, do your dad joke." I was like, "Wow, you're already on the ball here." I knew I was about to speak up anyway.
I am the Maddie extraordinaire to not only my three cats this week, but also to two of the three cats of my buddy Brooks. So I have been running back and forth from my house to theirs to see the Doug Trio's biological sibling, Ivy, although mostly I see her in the corner under the bed. And then Holly is another cat that they've adopted. Lily is being boarded because she's a pika cat. And she'll just eat things. And if there's not a human there, that's a bad, bad idea. So she goes into boarding when they go away.
We used to give our cat pool noodles to chew on because he would get destructive when he was by himself. And then the vet said that was a bad idea because he could swallow pieces of the foam.
And as soon as they get wet, they start to... And that's a good way to get an obstruction.
When I realized that, it was like, okay, that wasn't the great idea. I thought it was because I was seeing foam. This was at the apartment. There was one time I was like, somebody dumped cat litter all over the dumpster. And Vaughn goes, that was us. And I was like, how do you know that? And he said, because I see the pieces of foam and the poop that people dumped, that you dumped. And I'll look like, oh, crap, that was us. So we had to put the kibosh on that. I don't know how we finished Jack's chewing problem. I think it was just getting a bigger house for him to run around in. But
I always laugh when I go to see Brooks's cats because Holly is just another cat that they've adopted. But Holly infamously does not like women, only likes men. And so, like, she will run away. They have two daughters, and she'll run away from them. There is exactly one photo of one of the daughters holding Holly ever. But she loves me. As soon as I come in the door and, like, I open my mouth and say, hello, kitties. All I hear is jingle, 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 jingle. And, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And there's Holly at the top of the stairs, like, chirping and meowing and murping at me. And, like, she guides me through all of my cleaning tasks. And then at the end, she sits in the kitchen exactly in front of the spot where the bowl for the wet food goes and just looks at me and goes meep 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 until I put a food bowl down that has wet food in it. She's like, I have supervised your cleaning tasks, now you must pay the managerial dues, give me my damn wet food. So we have once again turned this into RPG cats.
Did she love you pre-transition?
Yes, that was the thing that always cracked us up.
Because I've heard many a trans person be like, yeah, I knew it was meant to be when somebody said that their cat didn't love this person or love this person when they didn't love that particular gender. Yep. And it was like, I was always that gender, apparently, according to this pet.
Yes. Gender affirming animals are the best.
Yes, exactly. I love that.
All right. Matt.
Yes.
You haven't been on for a few weeks. Tell us what you've been playing.
All right. I started up. I First of all, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I watched all the old shows. I've
Me
actually rewatched
too.
them all. In just the past 2 years, I've rewatched all the 80s and
DS9
90s.
best series, and I will fight
100%.
you.
100%. But I am totally into new Trek. I know a lot of people aren't. I watch all the new
I
Trek. I
like
wake up early.
Enterprise.
I watch all the new stuff. I love Enterprise too. Actually, that one I'm in the middle of a rewatch. I'm midway through season two now.
So I'm a season behind Strange New World because I unsubscribed from Paramount like a couple of years ago. But I really
The third
liked that
one's a
one.
mixed bag. You can tell the writer's strike happened.
Is that the the third series?
The
Yes.
third season, the one you're behind on,
I
yeah.
remember that one. Yeah, that's the one where she gets long hair, right?
Oh no, I'm saying what is it? Strange New Worlds, what you just said.
Yeah. Isn't that the one where Michael has really long hair?
That's
Changes
Discovery.
from sh Oh, right. Strange New Worlds is the one where they Zippy.
You've
Oh, it's
got
the one with
Pike.
Pike, right. Okay.
And
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that. I haven't seen any of the Section 32.
Section 31 was just one
Thank you.
movie and it was horrible.
Oh, that just makes me sad because
Critically and everything
that
panned. They had
actress.
they had her under contract to do a movie and they crapped one out.
That's just depressing. Giorgio, and I can't remember her last
I
name,
know.
but she is so good. She is like so good at being an evil character.
Oh
She's
yeah.
there's like goosebumps all up and down my back and my arms. It's just like, oh, step on me,
And like the
please.
first 20 minutes of that Section 31 movie is like so cool. Talks about her childhood and shows how she became the emperor and everything. And then
Falls to pieces.
it falls to pieces.
Lame.
Yep.
All right, so you've been
But
playing Star Trek Voyager
yeah,
Across the
across the
Unknown. Is this a new game?
It is. I thought it came out last fall for PC, but maybe not. Maybe it was in early access last fall. It says I'm looking at the Steam page right now. It released on February 18th, and I want to say it was right around then for the Switch 2. But I tried the Switch 2 demo this week, and holy cow, I really enjoyed it. It basically spans the entire series. And it's a text adventure, a lot of just, move your ship to this place, scan this planet, get the resources. Everything on the bridge is, do you choose this? Do you choose that? You can send landing parties down, and when they do, you want to make sure you got somebody who's got enough science, somebody's got skills with negotiating if there's people down there, and it's just a lot of choices and, kind of dice roll. Whether things happen certain ways or not. But I have only played through a few hours of the demo. I think I'm almost done with the demo. And I mean, it's the start of the series. Like, you got Tom Paris starting the series off, like, well, I guess I'm on the ship now. I just got pulled off and we're going into the Delta Quadrant, or we're going into the Badlands. And then they get sent to the Delta Quadrant. It is beat for beat. Stuff from the show, but you can have things happen a lot differently. I know a lot of the ads are with the whole Tuvix plot line, that very popular episode, whether did Janeway kill Tuvix or did she save the two people? You can choose to keep Tuvix. You can make that choice. Just keep
What?
Tuvix. Yes.
Oh.
There's one where B'Elanna gets split into her Klingon half and her human half. And she played two roles for that episode, the actress. And you can choose, that's one of the story beats. You can choose to keep two B'Elannas instead of merging them back together. So
Interesting.
I'm already sold. It's not, it says on how long to beat doesn't have a whole lot of people, but it's got about a dozen people that have already played it and finished it and said it's about a 20-hour game. I am easily going to buy this in the DLC. I already see on Switch 2, it's $40 for it's 20% off for the next couple weeks. I will be getting this. It is fun. It is a lot of I should say like base building, base management, because you get to the Delta Quadrant and the Voyager is completely like destroyed inside. So you need to choose resources to reactivate the transporter systems, or right now I'm in the process of activating both phasers and the torpedo bay, repairing those before I head back and try to take care of the caretaker and, try to get him to send me back to the home, which if you know the whole series, doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But already there, I can see stuff that's grayed out about Borg upgrades and everything. So I know it, you know, when that plot point happens and Seven of Nine joins, you can start Borgifying your ship to help out with certain things.
Nice.
So it looks great. The DLC's also on sale. I'm like, I might as well get that. It's got a couple extra characters and like five extra planetary systems with story beats that you can go to. I'm like, oh, if that's a couple more hours, I'll pay for that. So that's been surprisingly fun because I'm usually all just RPG, RPG, RPG. And well, I can level Tom Paris and Neelix up. You know, it's not exactly RPG, RPG here, but it's got a lot of RPG elements.
Is Neelix as annoying as everybody says he is?
Well, you know, it's not voiced. They did not go out and get all the voices. I know they did upgrade it just recently. One of the updates added more voice text for the guy who played Tom Paris. And I think they got one other one, but you know, this is not a $70 title, and Star Trek games in general don't usually sell very well. So they did not go out and get everybody's voice for all these. So
Probably a good choice.
yeah. I'm not sure everybody could still be around and do that, but yeah, it's pretty neat. It's OpenCritics got it at 77, you know, and looking at it, almost everything is a 7 or 8, 7 or 8, straight down the board. So yeah, if you like Star Trek, you probably put it at the 8. If you're not, you shouldn't even look at this, but I love Voyager. We just watched it. Kids saw about half the episodes with me probably 2 years ago. So, and then The Doctor, the newest new Star Trek show is Starfleet Academy.
Oh,
And
I really want to watch that because it has a gay
it's,
Klingon in it.
oh my gosh, you got a gay Klingon. One
It
of the
makes people
characters.
angry. They,
Yes.
I love when people are like, when did Star Trek go woke?
Always, always
Newsflash,
has been.
always.
Yep.
I don't know, the
There
TOS
was.
episode where there's like two planets fighting against each other, where one is half white, half black, and the other one's half black, half white, probably around
Yep.
that point.
Or
Guess.
you know, the first interracial kiss on television.
Yep.
Well,
There
that was
were
by accident.
networks that didn't cover that or didn't show that in the South.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
And apparently there was something with Shatner a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago when this show started, but someone on his team didn't tweet out the right nice stuff. But he came out just this past week and, you know, had some talk in an interview where he was like, it's always been woke. It's been woke since I've been there. Like, what the hell? So
I'm only
the series
interrupting
was
going to
excellent.
I'm only interrupting because of the comment about the first interracial kiss here, because I read a thing where they filmed the scene and they were like really scared of showing it, so they really shot the scene multiple times to be like a hug, but in every scene William Shatner was making like really weird facial expressions so
He
they
was
couldn't
mean
use
mugging
them.
the camera.
Yeah.
He's
So
like,
they
I know
had
what
to.
shot you're gonna use. Yep.
I know it's not the best representation of an interracial kiss. I'm just saying that it's known for the being the first interracial kiss on television.
Fair.
Not
Yep.
all representation is good representation, but it's still there.
But it's still representation and it's still a
Yeah.
notable landmark.
And
All
yeah,
right,
for the
sorry.
first one, like you may not nail the first one every time, but there you go. But no, I really enjoyed that show, and they brought back the Doctor. He's still alive 1,000 years in the future,
Well, because he's a
and
hologram.
because he's a hologram. And so having him on that series was, you know,
Robert
just great.
Picardo is like extra in all of the best ways.
Oh, and Andy, they have one episode completely devoted to Sisko and Deep Space Nine stuff too in Academy. So that
What?
is, yep.
Ooh.
It, that episode was amazing, absolutely
I need to
amazing.
like
So
resub to Paramount for like
do it for
one
a
month so
month.
that I can
Yep.
watch Below Decks and have Gara Shear and I can watch the new series and have Gay Klingon Boy being
Oh
very
yes.
awkward.
You do get the Bashir Garak right at the end of that series. That was fun. I mean, they knew what they were doing at the end of that series. And though, I mean, that Lower Decks was made by people who knew all the lore. So they definitely did that. So this has been fun. Like, hey, I've just been watching The Doctor for the past couple months. I saw Voyager again all 2 week 2 years ago, and so playing through this, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be fun. I'm gonna have to do this. So that's been good. And then, along with you, Andy, I've been doing Octopath Traveler Zero.
Yeah, so I am in my exploration era, so I made almost no story progress this week, so I still have like my level 25 or 27 that is like go over to Craghorn and continue the story. So like I think you're slightly further than me
I
'cause you've
am.
seen the assassination attempt.
I have done one. Because what is that? I can't advance my town until I get like the Craghorn third mission there or whatever, and I'm on the second mission of Craghorn, so.
Yeah, so I am like running around exploring everything to get to all of the towns that are down south that are
I did
in
that,
like
yeah.
the yeah, so you are slightly ahead of me. But yeah, I've been running around to trying to I need to go back to I can't remember where it is, but I remember seeing someone that had a cow. And I couldn't take it off of them at the time that I was originally there because I was just a little too low level.
I completely save scum to
But
get that cow.
I
I know exactly. I can't remember what town it was, but I'm like, I remember having that same thought. And I tried five times in a row, couldn't get the cow, reloaded, went back. I think it was like the third time, so maybe like my eighth total time I got that cow.
was seriously debating save scumming for it, and then I was just like, no, I don't think I have the patience for that. So I'll just like come back when it's a little bit easier for me to do. But yeah, I definitely need cow because I need milk for like a whole ton of recipes at this point. So yeah, I've just been running around doing all of like the path actions and stuff and just exploring around. I was really lucky. I wandered into one of the level 28 or 29 zones and my characters were 25 or 26, I think. And like my first encounter was a cat. And I'm
Oh,
like,
yeah.
oh no, this is
They
such
just
a
run
high,
away.
this zone is so much higher than me. It's going to run away. No, I put enough speed seeds on the thief guy that he
Oh.
outsped the damn cat. And so I'm like, you know what? It's going to run away anyways, but let's YOLO this. So I did the ability that's like throw your dagger
Three
three
times.
times,
Yep.
really high crit rate, got exactly two crits. And that is what was needed to
Whoa.
break it. And so
Oh.
I jumped from 25, 26 up to almost 30 on all of my characters.
Oh, so jealous.
I was just like, this never happens to me in an Octopath game. And I got the ship. I managed to get all of the ship stuff together. And I went out sailing on the sea and just doing like the little like mid-20s sea, I got an octopus. So yeah, I'm like way higher level than I feel like I should be, considering the amount of stuff that I have been doing lately, but it makes me really happy. So all my characters are almost level 30 or at level 30.
And that's right where I am now, but I've advanced the story a little bit more because I didn't get lucky with the cat, whatever.
Lucky.
I've seen like three or four of them, but I don't even think I've hit them once, let alone had a
Yeah,
chance to crit
I've
them.
seen four, and I have only killed the one.
Yeah, that's about the
So
normal.
I still feel, and I've only seen one octopus, and I immediately killed that octopus. So in that, I got lucky, very, very lucky that it did not run away. So,
I've enjoyed that I'm able to, I would say, I think I've done very well with being able to go to any zone 5 to 7 levels ahead and slowly, with like full healing and using a couple items between every battle, kind of make it through.
I've been pretty aggressive in terms of like how fast I try to go into zones that are very clearly higher level than me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been paying off for me, but at
Yeah.
some point it's gonna smack me in the face.
Oh, I'm sure. I think I've only had one game over doing that, and like since you can fast travel at any point, I've survived a battle with 2 out of 8 people, and just zipped right back to my town, wish fail, and.
There is one zone that I kind of want to go through to get to the town in it, but it's level 39. And so I'm like, I think I might wait until just like all of my characters are level 30, and then
I
I
want to
will
say,
try to
is
do that
that
zone.
south east or the bottom right?
Top left.
Top left. Oh, So, yeah, because I think I've opened almost anywhere that I can see a road going to, like that isn't blocked by story reasons or just has a little thing there, like you can't go this way. I think I've opened it all at this point.
Yeah, and
But
so
then
that's my goal
also,
right now
I've done
before
that
I
for so many
continue.
hours. It's like, I love the town building. I want to build the town. And then there's a guy in my shop that says, oh, yeah, I go talk to him. And it's like, you can't continue this until you've done blah, 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 chapter three. And I'm like, I haven't even started chapter one of
Lame.
that quest line.
So I
So,
have not opened a shop yet in my town. I've been really looking forward to doing that because I do. I haven't been save scumming, but I have been doing a lot of like, I'm just gonna throw myself at this person until they finally say yes. And if I have to pay to repair my reputation a couple times, it is what it is. And so, yeah, I've been recruiting people that are like 48% chance of joining your party, and I'm
I
like, nope,
would
that's good. If it's over 40%, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna
same
try
anyone
until they
around
say
halfway or more, I'll go
yes.
for. You and I have been playing the
So
same way because I usually
it's
don't play
funny.
games like that, pushing forward like this, but
I
I
don't
felt that
normally
it's.
play games aggressively like this, so this has been really fun for me.
I've had a
This is
blast. I love the
really
battle
fun.
system. I love the
Yes, and having the two rows of party members, I have been playing so aggressively in combat in a way that I have never played like this intensely in an Octopath before. I am just like, I'm gonna like throw myself at things until it works. And I'm just really enjoying being like crazy aggressive and all of this stuff. And the game isn't punishing me for doing it, which I appreciate.
I think the way I know that I've been so aggressive is the number of player deaths I've had, because one of my favorite animations in the whole game is when the person from the back row walks over, grabs the dead person from the front row, drags them to the back row, and then steps up. I've seen
So,
that w so many times, but I love it every time. I'm like, oh, that person just died. But hey, I got to see that again.
I have me and Tessa in the same row,
She's here.
and so yeah, I see that scene a lot because Tessa has almost no hit points, and I am just like throwing myself at things.
I think she's my backup in the second row, definitely.
My one complaint about the game so far is I'm like almost level 30. I want to be able to use the skills of the jobs that I've mastered, and I can't. And that is annoying me.
And see, I'll be honest, I haven't switched. I've left myself on warrior with all the other
So,
people. I don't know. Is there a benefit to switching my job?
that
Other than just, oh, I
is
want another thief?
getting
More JP?
getting like the secondary abilities unlocked, because I think you can mix and match them, question mark. I don't 100% remember. I'm gonna have to go back and look now. But
I
I
just know,
started as
like.
merchant, and merchant has just like, I mean, in every Octopath game,
Oh,
merchant is
yeah.
kind of broken. But in this one, there's like an attack all arrow and like the ability to heal yourself. And all sorts of just like crazy nice perks that I miss them now that I'm a dancer. And there just isn't that many things that I'm interacting with right now that are weak to fan. And
I
so
have
it's just
nobody
like,
that can use a fan in my
ugh.
entire party, and it's not been a problem at all.
Yeah, I have two people in my party right now that can use a fan. And I think I'm going to end up. I think I'm going to end up as soon as I have enough JP to unlock abilities to so that I can unlock my next class. I'm going to switch to literally anything other than Dancer because I can always come back to it later when like it makes more sense and there's more compatibility happening. So.
And see, I just haven't found anybody else that can do the damage output of my hero. Because there's a double, strong double sword attack that the hero can do. And if I've got it boosted up 4 and the person's broken, I'm doing anywhere from 5 to 7,000 damage.
Wow.
Which.
I took This is that one of the skills that you can choose from the beginning?
Yeah, it was. I think it's just the one on the bottom, but it doesn't matter. You can pick what any you can pick them in any order.
So I ended up going with the one that lowers physical attack and defense. And I haven't learned the other two yet. I should probably look up how to do that because I'm pretty sure you're intended to.
But yeah, it's just like most of the bosses are around 20,000 hit points at this point, 20 to 25 when I analyze them. And, being able to put out 7,000, I mean, take a quarter of their damage
That's
on one,
huge,
that's
yeah.
huge. Yeah. And I mean, everybody, I haven't had a hard, super hard fight where it's at least boss fight, at least, where I'm down to like one or two people. It's always been fine. But,
Yeah.
chipping away at 1,000 hit points per attack. And that's only if people are like boosted up. I'm, doing 300, 300, 300, 300. And
Yep.
like, okay, there's 1,200. Now they're down to 24. But,
Yeah, the
being able to
only
take that
fight that
down.
I struggled with a little bit was Marvelous.
I think that was the second one I went through. Oh, no, I took him
Yeah,
out first. I did that one
that's
first.
I think I did him first this time as well. I saved him for third in the mobile game, and that was a mistake because they do level up slightly as you defeat the bosses. And so if you leave him for last, he gets pretty rough.
I figured there was some level scaling going on because, yeah, when I fought him, he was supposed to be like a level 12 or something like that. And I was
Yeah,
at
so
like 16 or 18,
initially,
but
the
then the next
first
one
chapter three is
definitely was
like
higher.
17 or 19, and then it jumps up to 21, and then it jumps up to
Correct.
23.
Yeah.
So.
So still fun. I this will, and I feel like I do need to play something else like Star Trek at the same time because it's a lot. I love my roaming and I love getting, but I could see this being very episodic
It
and like,
is just
hey,
because it's based off of the old mobile game that was
yep.
completely episodic, so that tracks.
So yep, I'm gonna have to. I may like try to put Voyager aside and not buy it quite yet. I need to get through Nelki. Because we have Atelier April coming up, and
Ooh.
I do want to play through Nelki before, and I think that's our last day, like April 29th or something like that. So I've done all my other Atelier homework, and I know this one's not good.
It's I enjoyed it, but I went into it with very low expectations.
Oh, and that's where I am. So maybe I will have some fun with it.
Maybe it's gotten patched since then?
No.
Oh no, it hasn't.
No.
Aw.
It is what it is.
Yeah, 100%. That is exactly what I would have said.
And like, gosh, I
So.
remember what 6, 7 years ago listening to Josh talk about the game on RPG Cast
He
and
hated it. I
yep.
enjoyed it, but I think that he had greater expectations for it because they really did advertise it so heavily as like this amazing game to celebrate 40 years of Atelier, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, but the Amazon JP reviews are awful. So my expectations are not high that this is actually going to be good. So.
Yeah, I've already done three ateliers this year alone. I did Sophie 2, and I did Fierce at the end of last year. What's the other one in that series? Because we're covering Mysterious this year, so I did them all.
Liddy and Sewell.
Yes, I really enjoyed
Lysia is
that.
the third one
Yep,
and the best
I.
one by far.
Oh yeah, that was great. That was great. And then I went back because I've done it completely out of order. I did Fierce last year because I had a long weekend and I beat Fierce an entire weekend. Like
Yeah,
it was like
that
14,
tracks.
16 hours. I didn't want to spend a lot of time with that, like doing the whole world and everything. I was like, I just want to get this one done and then spend more time with the other ones because I heard Fierce was, it was okay, but I did not need to go through all that all the different times.
It's,
I know it was
yeah.
meant to be played multiple times, or most of it is done as a post game, and because
Yeah.
it's got a timer that is running.
It's got this crazy short timer, and then like the other 60% of the game opens up.
Yep.
And it's
So
like,
I beat the
it's hard
timer,
to
and then
feel
I was like,
motivated to
I
do
saw
that.
credits. Yeah, I was like, her job was to become a licensed alchemist. Guess what? I am the end.
Done. Yeah.
Put a pin in
So
that,
it's
and let me
such a
go play with
weird
Sophie
story
and
structure.
the sisters. So, but nope, this will be wrapping up my
Mighty
atelier
and
apron.
Sual is okay. I would argue that it's probably the strongest out of the Mysterious series, but it's also the strongest out of the Mysterious series. We are going to get like some Mysterious fan who is going to come into the comments and be like, "How dare you besmirch my beloved Mysterious games?" And I'll be like,
I think the
"Dare."
problem with the Mysterious trilogy is that they were really trying to do new things, and some of it stuck
Some
and
of
some
it
of it
worked and some
didn't.
of it didn't. And it was in the middle of a technological change for them. They had predominantly put the games on Vita up until that point, but the Vita just really wasn't able to handle those games anymore. And they had started to put them on the Switch, but they weren't really optimizing them well for the Switch. So like the clock would still run even when your Switch was in sleep mode and stuff like that. So
Which
it's
is never
fine. It was
good.
a growth generation. They muddled through it and got better afterwards.
And say, I will say, luckily, I got all the DX versions for the Switch.
Yeah.
I bought that entire. I spent $100 to get that imported physical copy.
Worth it.
It was like $30 for each one of those games. Heck yeah.
I think it was cheaper to get the physical than it was to get it on the eShop. And that's why I have at least a couple of those physically.
Oh yeah. I mean, nowadays they drop pretty low. I mean, I got Nelki for like $12 and
Right.
Sophie 2 even for pretty cheap, 25 or something like that. But
I waited for that
all
whole
good.
trilogy to be under to hit the $20 each sale and
Yeah.
bought them.
Nice.
So that's what I've been playing. What else have you been
So
playing, Andy?
I have been playing, so Chris was making fun of me last week for this, but I have been playing Last Asylum. It is a mobile game where it is a combination of base building and PvP. And I said last week that I was really enjoying it. The dilemma that I was having when I was talking about it last week is the guild that I was in was not particularly active, and it is the kind of game that if you're not in a guild, you're not making a ton of progress. So I was like, I'm gonna go guild shopping. And I saw that one of the top like five or six guilds in the server was recruiting. So now I am part of the Hell Reapers. And it is night and day being in a guild that is active versus being in a guild that is very casual, because like you get all of your speed ups. Like the way that this game works is the way that a lot of these mobile game works, where you have very long timers to complete buildings, but your guild members can come in and give a boost to your building, and then the timer is significantly reduced. And Last Asylum actually goes a step further, and there is actually a building specifically dedicated to, as you level up that building, those buffs for reducing the amount of time buildings take gets better and better. So I have been pushing really hard on those, because I basically went from about 30 to 45 minute reduction in my old guild to here is 4 to 5 hours off of your building. And when buildings take, like, I think my next major upgrade of my sanctuary, like my big main building that always takes the longest, is 5 or 6 days. And so being able to build up all of this, all of these buildings of like, this is going to continue reducing the amount of time, or increasing the amount of time that your guild members knock off, and increasing the number of guild members that can assist you. I saw one screenshot in their Discord where someone had like knocked 2.5 days off of their 7-day building just from buffs from guild members. So it was like, okay, this is very much worth it. So I have been having a lot of fun with that. I have also, as always, been playing Gems of War. In fact, if you are watching us live at twitch.tv/rpgamer, every Saturday morning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, I am actually playing Gems of War on the stream right now, and you can watch me beat up Dagonoth, who is the big bad guild boss for the week. So that is what I have been playing. Oh, and I am going to my very first romance author conference.
Oh, cool.
So I tried to go to a couple of conferences to meet romance authors that I had read books from in 2024. And both times, the authors that I wanted to see backed out of the convention.
Lame.
So it was like I really wanted to go, but there really wasn't any point in doing so because the like three, MM romance authors that I was interested in seeing were no longer going to be able to attend, and for good reasons. It was never just like they were just not vibing it anymore or anything silly like that. But it's like, all right, all of the gay romance authors have backed out, and it's now only straight romance authors. I don't read straight romance. So there's really not much of a point in me attending anymore. This event is called Queer in the Middle, and it's in Illinois. It is like in the middle of the country, which is very different because most of these author conventions happen on either the East or West Coast. And I understand why. They're bigger cities, they're easier to get to in terms of like airports and stuff. It's just where people tend to live. But I'm always kind of bummed because it's like if I have to travel all the way to Boston for a convention, that's really tiring for me. And it's hard to justify attending a trip that I turn around so fast that I don't get time to recover from traveling. So this, in comparison, is drivable.
Nice.
So I'm very excited. It's happening at the end of June, so we will miss one RPG cast later in the year because I have to go talk to people that write smut. So sorry, not sorry.
You experience the same pain I experience when it comes to wanting to go see European heavy metal shows because it feels like they only tour on the East and West Coast, and the closest they get to the Midwest is like Denver, which is an 8-hour drive for me. And yeah, I feel your pain so hard on all of that.
It's like bands are like, we're gonna go to Canada for our tour. We're gonna go to Toronto. It's like, great. What other cities are you going to? We're going to Toronto. Well, that's not really a Canadian tour, but I don't know. Thanks for the non-effort. Like, it drives me bananas. Yeah, so that's my fun little news, and I'm very, very excited for it. If you happen to read romance, check out Queer in the Middle and see if you are interested in attending as well, because it's a lot of authors that don't otherwise go to conventions. And even if like three or four or five authors backed out, because this is a queer romance convention, there's still like seven other authors that I am interested in meeting. And I get to meet Joel Leslie, who's a very cool narrator, and he does a lot of romance. So, all right, sorry. Kelly, what have you been playing this week now that I'm done squeeing about books?
I rolled credits on I can never say it right. Pokopia? Pokopia?
Pokopia.
Pokopia. So there is an end game. You basically have to do all of the main story quests, and then something will happen. I don't want to get into too many spoilers, and the credits will roll, and then there's some post-game stuff where you're completing quests for some of the story Pokemon that you unlock. And one of the main things that unlocks when you complete the story mode is a transformation into a Magnemite, which basically lets you float around and lay down like up to 9 tiles at a time and replace tiles that are already laid with different ones so that you're not having to knock out tiles you don't want and then put them back in the hole that you created. So it kind of unlocks a creative mode in that way. Though it does, you've said before that this was made by Dragon Quest Builders people. It does mildly annoyed me that they did not learn to take some of the lessons from Dragon Quest Builders 2 and implement them into this. Do you remember how you were able to unlock like infinite materials at some point in Dragon Quest Builders too.
I believe that's a post game thing. A
Yeah.
post game thing, yeah.
Well, I don't even think it was a post game thing. I think it was if you completed all of those various islands.
Oh, yeah, there were certain materials like dirt and it wasn't like all infinite, but yeah, there were certain ones that
Yeah.
you could unlock like one at a time. Like if you did this, then you never needed
Yeah,
another
but
thing of dirt or grass or whatever.
just basic ones for building. And
Correct,
they
yes.
didn't do that here, and I don't understand why. And I also don't understand why they didn't, or what am I trying to say? That the inventory problem is the same problem as Dragon Quest Builders 1, where you have a very limited inventory and not a centralized one. So you're driving yourself crazy trying to figure out what chest on what island you put stuff in. That kind of stuff. And the game can't decide if it wants to be Animal Crossing or a Minecraft clone because like you'll make
Why not
something.
both?
Yeah, well, you'll like restoring the Pokemon centers. The estimated time it'll be tomorrow. And it's like, why, game? There's no reason for there to be a time factor on this. And yeah, you can circumvent it by just backing out of the game and setting the clock forward a day, which is how I've been playing this. It's just some of the little stuff like that about this game has been slightly frustrating. But at the same time, the discovering different Pokemon and trying to, meet their needs so that they're happy, so that you'll increase the comfort level of each island, so you can get more stuff, more recipes to build, has been fun as hell. And like one of the things that I've been trying to do is the central island that's called Pallet Town, spelled like paint palette as a little joke. That's like your main free build area, and you find recipes there to build a power plant, an ice temple, and a fire altar. And when you build those three things, you find the three legendary birds from the original game, which I
Isn't
thought,
that the places where they were in the original game, or am I okay? I'm like, am I misremembering that? Am
No,
I going?
it's a nod to that. And then once you catch, quote unquote, all three of the birds, you get a bell to summon Lugia.
Oh, nice.
But I think he ha because Lugia and Ho-Oh fly over screen in some spots and drop feathers. I think you have to wait for them to spawn before you can use the bell to actually summon them to talk to them, and I haven't figured out how to find Ho-Oh's bell yet. I've got to figure all of that stuff out. And then yeah, you run around and you find little rainbow glows, and you click on those glows, and it'll give you ideas for habitats to set up to attract certain Pokemon. Attracting Porygon involves building a like two tables, and one of them with a science experiment on it, and one of them with a PC on it. Just kind of stuff like that. So I'm trying to discover and build the rest of the habitats to fill out the Pokédex for no other reason than I don't want to put down this game yet because it's just so much fun. I can't stop playing it, even though I have when is it? Monster Hunter
Stories three.
Stories 3 3 sitting there being like, why are you ignoring me, Cal?
Why don't you love me?
And I'm like, because I like the Pokemon game. It's my kind of jam right now. So I feel Matt's pain about feeling bad about wanting to play a certain game over another certain game.
You know
And
what?
then
I
you.
just bought Pokopia this morning.
Oh,
I
did it
walked
go on
out and my
sale or?
No, my son had been asking about it for a couple weeks and kind of off and on. I walk out this morning and I see he's watching, some Let's Play of it. And I was like, oh, did you want that anyway? Like anything to keep him off Roblox, honestly. I will spend money
Yeah, no,
on
that's
real games to keep him off Roblox.
you're gonna lose
And
your
I'll
son
end
to
up.
this.
The problem is, I'm going to lose the Switch 2 to it.
Yeah.
That's been my biggest one. I'm like, I bought the Switch 2 Octopath Traveler Zero version. Like, oh boy.
Oh, and
Yeah.
it's not forwards and backwards
No.
compatible. It's
Nope.
there is a
Switch 2.
Switch 2 and a Switch version, and never the twain shall meet.
I know. I keep looking. I'll tell you what, we'll have the news story, I'm sure, later about the PlayStation price increases. And I just keep thinking, I mean, I've got the money. I can go buy another Switch 2. It wouldn't be horrible. But the second, I tell you what, if they come out with something like PlayStation, I'll be at Target that afternoon.
Yeah, that's what motivated me to get my Switch 2. It's like, you know what? This thing is never going to be any cheaper. If
Nope.
anything, it's going to be more expensive. So I might as well just get one. And yeah, I'm very glad that I did with the price increases and the fact that, you know, Pokopia and Hyrule Warriors, and then I'm sure Monster Hunter Stories is going to eat up all my time, and all of those were Switch 2 exclusives. So, yeah. So, make sure your kid doesn't have any obligations like homework or anything before you bestow Pokopia to him, because you're
Well, it was
not gonna.
Saturday morning at 10 a.m. It was fine. His
Okay.
only problem was he had to set it down so we could go to his younger brother's soccer game. That was a drag him out of the house with that.
Yeah.
I was
For
like,
me, it's
I dangled
making
the
me
carrot. I'm like,
responsible.
listen, I'm gonna be on a podcast for like 3 hours when we get home. No one's even gonna be paying attention.
Yeah, for me, it's been Kel. We need to go to bed. Like, I know. I know.
But I have to build.
Let me finish this construction project so it can be ready for me in the morning. Fine. And then he threatens to touch buttons, and I'm like, do you want to lose that hand? But I love this game. I need to put it away at some point. I don't have that many more Pokemon to go. The problem is some of the Pokemon that I'm trying to find involve like searching for fossil pieces that are very rare spawns, or you know, trying to find the rest of the habitats, which just kind of spawn at random. And there's random islands that you can go to like once a day that might have one of the legendary dog trio, because that's where I found Raikou, was just in a cave. I set Raikou loose and then he follows me to my home,
Nice.
and it's like, this god Pokemon followed me home, can I keep him?
Listen, the god followed me home. Can I please keep him? Please, please, please. I promise to feed him.
It's like I know that, you know, he can probably burn my house down if he wants to, but he's really cute. So I'm sure Suicune and I'm sorry, it was Entei I found, not Raikou. But I'm sure or Raikou and Suicune are around too, but you can only go to those special islands once a day because they're like kind of resource islands, like in Dragon Quest Builders.
Dragon Quest Builders 2 had the islands that you could, yep.
Yeah.
Can't remember if it was once a day, but there was a limit to it. It wasn't, you could just always do that, yeah.
Yeah. So, your kid's gonna have a fun time finding Pokemon in this and building them their little homes, and get frustrated as they bitch about being it being too light out.
Too
So,
light out. They need a roof for that.
yeah. Well, the real answer is just build them a house. They're All the Pokemon in this game get infinitely happier when you put them in a house, and then it's just a matter of finding the type of furniture they like. That'll fast track you to maxing out the environment level in each zone. I also unlocked well, two of my favorite Pokemon, Persian and Meowstic from the most recent game. And Persian makes me happy because Persian has the search function, which is how you go around to find the rare items. So I've just been while running around with my kitty cat finding stuff. Oh, and it's kind of fun guessing which Pokemon you're gonna unlock with the different habitats, because to unlock Persian, you have to set up a little Team Rocket couch. It's like a Team Rocket portrait with a luxury sofa and two plants on the side. And as soon as I saw the Team Rocket logo, it's like that's gotta
That's
be Persian.
Giovanni's office, right?
Yeah, it's Giovanni's office. So I busted my ass to try to unlock that. When he Persian showed up, I squeed in happiness. Because Persian is one of my favorite Pokemon of all time.
Nice.
Even though I've heard that they're a bitch to take care of, according to the Pokedex, because they're very finicky.
According to the Pokédex.
According to the Pokédex.
But that's all I've played this week. I'm gonna get to something else at some point.
All right. We look forward to hearing what you're playing next RPG cast.
Yay.
We asked our listeners, what is your comfort game if you're sick or not feeling great? Strawberry Egg says, I suppose lately it's been Animal Crossing New Horizons for me. I've stopped playing it regularly some time ago, but I revisit it occasionally and I find it comforting. For a less common RPG example, I like to replay Earthbound Beginnings every couple of years and think it's something of a comfort game for me. Tam says, my comfort food game is Final Fantasy IV. I think it maybe is mine too. I really do want to replay it at some point soon-ish. Yeah, the 3D version came out on Apple Arcade, and I played and beat that. I was kind of hoping more of the Pixel Remaster games would come to Apple Arcade, but so far, no dice. So maybe I'll end up replaying Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster on my computer. So, Platy says it used to be Dragon Quest VII because it was hundreds of hours of that. And now you say it's more of a match three type of RPG game.
I
Can you
need to
give us
turn
an
my brain
example?
off more. And honestly, like I'll pick up the 3DS and just do like a couple puzzles. Was it Puzzles and Dragons and the
Yes.
Mario version
The
of
Mario
that?
Puzzles
And
and Dragons crossover, yeah.
that, I think the Mario Puzzles and Dragons might be the last game I ever rolled credits on the 3DS, just because it was like a year or two ago.
Wow. Okay.
And that got one really annoying at the end, and I just. I
Yeah,
it
some of those fights
when it got near
definitely
the
feel
end, I
like
was
they're
like, what? I got
luck.
10 one-ups. Let's just blow them all and let's win.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going for style points here. But yeah, those are the if I can just turn off my mind and do a couple more quests in Puzzle Quest or something, just that's what I'll do.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten into Gems of War.
I know I'm watching you play. That's what you're playing, right?
Yep.
On the stream. Yep, I
Yep.
know.
I mean, if you do end up
It
getting
could.
into it, let me know. I'll play with you. Wait, no, phrasing.
I think for
I know
me,
what you mean.
I think my comfort game is Final Fantasy One, because I've played it so much, I can just know where to go without having to look anything up. And there's just something kind of chill about rolling a new party and just going through the classic.
That's true. It's the game you're familiar with and can feel like you're playing that's fun without being super punishing.
Yeah, and with the Pixel Remaster, it's kind of nice to be able to boost without having to do too much grinding.
That's true. Yeah. I was like in the bottom of a dungeon and I basically run out of magic to use. And so I just turned off encounters. And I was just like, oh, this is so nice. Can't do this on
Yeah,
the
it used to be my version of choice was the PSP version, because that one was the only one that had magic points, and
Oh, MP instead of uses, yeah.
that game with magic points instead of magic charges just kind of breaks it. But now since the Pixel Remastered, it's like I'd rather have the ability to turn off encounters or boost my gains.
I do remember that people had very strong opinions about the idea of you can turn off encounters or not, so.
I think all classic RPGs and modern ones should have that function. Just,
Ooh, Kells is throwing down the gauntlet.
I'm serious, because you hit a point, like the Bravely series is a good example. You hit a point in those games where there's just no reason to fight.
Yeah, because you're not getting enough out of the fights for it to be worth your time.
Yeah, so you might as well just turn them off. They're not a challenge, a barrier, a challenge at that point. It's just
Well,
wasting time.
what I remember doing when I was playing, I think the second Bravely Default, was I basically treated it like a Zepoid game, where I turned encounters up to like 800% and did a bunch of grinding, and then I was like, all right, I've gotten enough levels, and then I turned off encounters and just rocked through the story.
Yep.
Maybe that should be our question this week. How do you feel about encounters?
Oh, but I definitely enjoy the question that we have now. Put that one
Oh,
in your
okay.
back pocket.
Okay.
Speaking of which, Andy, is there any way to turn to lower the encounter rate or like have an item or something in Octopath Traveler 2 for that? Because oh my goodness, like
Lower the encounter rate.
yeah, is there or anybody have a skill for that?
I know that you can increase the encounter rate, but I don't remember if you can reduce it. Reduce encounter rate. Oh, wow. It's like the first thing in my suggested Googles. Is there a way to reduce random encounters? Evasive maneuvers support skill.
All right.
Or the other thing
Not that it's
for
high, it's just I feel like I've gone back through like a lot of lower level places to like clear stuff out and
yeah, no.
get
And I
stuff, and
mean,
I'm
at
like,
some
ugh.
point, we're gonna get the key to the blue chests.
Yep, and that's a lot of
And
backtracking that
that
I don't
is
want to
just
battle on.
so much backtracking. I'm just like gonna use a guide for that.
Yeah, I've already planned for that. Like, yeah. I'm not making notes on that. They're everywhere.
They are seriously all over the place. And sometimes they're like pretty deep in caves and stuff too.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I'm not gonna wanna do that manually. I'm gonna cheat like a mofo. All right.
The other way to mitigate encounters that I like is making them end instantly, like in Earthbound
Oh
or
yeah.
Dragon Quest VII, the new one, where if
That
you're high
is
enough
quite
level,
handy.
they just stop.
Oh, you could just whack them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That is nice. I do like that as sort of like a little function where it's like you're still getting rewarded, quote unquote, for doing the encounter, but you don't actually have to do the whole encounter.
Nope.
There's something like that in what was that Atlas game that has all the style?
Oh, a metaphor?
Yeah, Metaphor ReFantazio does that as well. So, all right, here is our question of the week. And this comes to mind because what Tam has been playing and a couple of things that Chris has been playing recently have all kind of leaned into this to a degree, and people got really mad at Crimson Desert this week because it turned out that they left a bunch of what they call placeholder art in that was Gen AI produced, and they said that they wanted to just sort of nail down the vibe of the game, and really that was supposed to come out, and oopsie doopsie are bad, and people seem to not be particularly believing them on the oopsie doopsie. So the question for you is, what are your thoughts as a gamer about AI, or generative AI in games? Because I know when we've had conversations about this in our Discord, rpgamer.com/discord, if you want to join us, there has really been a much broader mix of opinions than I actually initially anticipated. Like, we have people that are 100% fine with generative AI stuff being in games. We have people that are 0% fine with anything generative AI being in games, and if you're spotted with it, they will like curse, I put pox on you and your family. I will never play any of your games ever again. And most people kind of like aren't one extreme or the other. There's some sort of balance in the middle. And so you tell us what you think. And I always laugh because Chris had been playing Where the Winds Meet, and I actually see quite a few of my friends playing that game, even people that are very anti-generative AI. And the optional NPC conversations that you can have in that game are all powered by a generative AI engine, and it's very easy to break that generative AI engine. You can just tell whoever you're talking to that you were pregnant, and then they beat you and you miscarried, and then you win any argument.
That's funny.
It's just like a weird weakness of the generative AI that they use. So bizarre.
And see, when generative AI is used for stuff that no human could possibly do, like I'm thinking about that one Sims clone on Steam right now, whose name is escaping me. It uses generative AI to generate like what characters you interact with and what they do and say.
Right, the manufacturer's personalities for
Yeah,
NPCs.
that kind of stuff I think is cool. I was talking pre-show about how it would be neat to have generative AI characters in MMOs that are role play prominent characters like Thrall or Sylvanas, because early MMOs had that. I'm thinking of the Matrix game where GMs puppeted those characters, and I guess you can't really do that now with games like WoW or 14 that
Because they're
have.
big.
Yeah, they have too many players, and that would just kind of wreck the game.
Yep.
Yeah, this also came about because I know, and this is not really anything that any of us can play, but Dragon Quest X in Japan was adding a slime with a rainbow hat that is your new AI companion in Dragon Quest X. I
And
think
is
he's.
that actually powered off of generative AI
It
or?
is. It even said it's Google Gemini. It is.
It's
They
Google Gemini.
even named it. It's yeah, it's right out there. Like we're partnering with Google Gemini to, have this
Have this
chatbot.
little slime chatbot in the game. Have fun.
So
And our.
I think he's basically your little Navi guy.
No, Navi, you listen.
Now, and you know what Kelly, you were talking about, like having some NPCs that would normally just, have the same two lines of dialogue for hundreds of hours. There's a reason no one's going to hire somebody to make 10,000 lines of dialogue for NPCs. That's just never going to happen. So something like that, where it's not going to take somebody's job,
Yeah, and that's what that's.
and that adds flavor to the game. If it's done well, if they got it programmed well, if you can do stuff like that, that's great. And, maybe having the little AI bot right on the side, like, hey, is there a blue chest around here, an Octopath? Like, I know I saw one.
And that's what I've always said, that if the use AI use isn't going to take or replace somebody's job, then I don't think it's the evil that people say AI is.
I mean, to me, it's very much an issue of theft. Like, does your AI in your game pull in the guide that humans at RPG site created? Hint, 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 hint. That has happened in the past.
Don't
And so,
doubt it.
like, I don't like that, and I think that's a terrible use of AI. If it's just if you're stealing someone else's work with AI. That's not cool. My doctor using AI to take notes is cool because the notes are shockingly accurate.
I used it recently to generate an image of a particular Warhammer monster that I wanted it to look like it was made out of cake, and I was having a really hard time visualizing this, so I just went to ChatGPT like, "Hey, make this character look like it's made out of cake." And
I wonder
it
if the seahorse bug is still around.
seahorse bug.
Yeah, next time you use your chat GPT, ask it if there's a seahorse emoji.
Okay. Do I want to know? I feel like I don't want to
It
know.
struggles, or it used to anyways. It was very struggle bus with that for a long, long time. And I have no idea if they ever fixed it. So tell us your thoughts about Gen AI and AI use in general in games. I feel like Gen AI isn't in a good spot to be used in games right now. We have had artificial intelligence to a degree in quite a number of games. Like we've had procedurally generated dungeons in games for decades, and that is just AI. It's just an AI that's trained on a very specific set of here are your, 27 rooms, make a level. It doesn't go out to the interwebs and learn about the levels that all of the other game designers made. That's bad. The first one is fine.
I'm just thinking about how Amiibos and Smash Brothers were a form of AI that they were supposed to learn how you played and mimic
Oh, and
it.
they got better. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody seemed to be pretty cool with that. Huh. It's interesting looking back at some of the things that like have used AI over the years versus how generative AI is used now, and people are just like dead set against it.
And bear in mind, it's not even really a true AI. It's a language learning machine.
Right.
Supposedly on a programmer level, that's two completely different things.
Yeah, that's like a whole podcast discussion by itself. Yeah.
Too complicated for my brain, but that's what my husband told me.
Yeah, well, and yeah, it's the way that we use terminology for all of this stuff is super duper squishy and like not in any way precise. And sometimes there are people who are like, LLMs are evil, AI is fine, and it's like, no, this is like a whole podcast conversation all of its own. We're not gonna we have peeked under the lid of Pandora's box, and I'm just gonna slam it shut right now. So that's your question of the week. Your thoughts on AI and your thoughts on generative AI in games. So AI being things like procedurally generated levels, NPCs that have randomized chat, Gen AI being things like assets and trained on work that is not necessarily owned by the people who are going to then use those assets, whether it's text or an image. So let us know your thoughts. All right. It's everybody's favorite time again. It's time to do
Is
the
it
beeping
news time?
noises. Yes. Beep, 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 beep.
Did anybody?
Kelly, bring us the
Yes.
news of the week.
Did anybody play Minecraft Dungeons?
I
I did.
keep meaning to.
I rolled credits with my son, but I will tell you what, playing it with the kids and them just wanting to keep doing it, I feel like I couldn't tell you anything about it. I didn't really engage with it. Like, I probably could have gone in and used our ability points or something, but they were always like, let's do the next mission. So I've got no clue what the heck happened to it.
I heard it was kind of mid.
Well, then you could always ask Wheels and you'll get the it was amazing
Oh
answer.
no.
Okay. But
No,
then
we're not going down this rabbit
so
hole. No.
it was mid to good, depending on certain people. It
but
wasn't a horrible experience.
it has a sequel announced.
Surprise.
No other details other than yeah, it's a co-op action RPG coming to PC, PlayStation, and Switch 2. And
And
I've got it like several times over between free PSN versions and it being a Christmas present. I've been curious about it because I like, it just sounds like Diablo 4 but with Minecraft aesthetic.
That's exactly what it is. It's, yeah.
Is it
I just
dark? Is it so dark? It's so dark, isn't it? It's really dark.
The dark could
It's.
none more dark. Who knows? Maybe they'll make it better in the sequel. I don't know.
A boy can dream.
But we've got that. We've got Digimon Story Time Stranger is getting an expansion next year.
Neat. Oh, this is one. You know what? Where did I? Oh, wait. Maybe this is not it. The free to play. Okay, this is. I posed this question in Q&A Quest, and I guess I'll have to wait a week to hear their answer. But I was wondering, I'm like, this game's like a year old, and it's not getting the DLC expansion till next year. Like, how many people are gonna, Dave's always in with numbers, and I posed to him, I'm like, I know, like, the average DLC is there for like 10% of fans. Like, DLC like this 2 years later, how many people really buy that? I'm sure that he'll have at least some decent numbers to
He
answer that
will. He
question
will.
with.
That
So
I will sit back and listen to that in a week and
nice. I'm looking forward to that too now.
I don't think anybody here has played the base game yet.
It is on my wish list. I think I'm waiting to for it to go down to 50%. I don't think it has yet.
They also announced a free to play mobile game.
Digimon up.
I have mixed feelings about this because having worked on Digimon MMOs in the past, the monetization of these things can be so predatory that I'm just like, I'm gonna have to see how this comes together before I get any level of interested in it.
When does the mobile game come out? Just
Fall 2026.
yeah, just later this year.
Yep.
So, I don't have too long to wait, at least.
Hasn't pixel art style, which looks kind of
It
cool.
does, it
Yeah,
says, yeah.
it reminds me of like Digimon Battle, which I did work on, so.
Cool. We've got a 2D turn-based RPG, Tota Brava, announced. It looks like Adventure Time art style.
Yeah, this is different. This art style like kind of disappeared for a hot minute, and I feel like now it's kind of making a resurrection again. Down for it.
It
Is that
looks like you're
Steamboat Willie
playing.
you're battling?
It looks, yeah.
Something like that.
Like, is that the hidden Mickey right there?
Cites Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, and Vagrant Story as its
That is
inspirations.
some interesting disparity between those games.
I was going to say that
Yeah.
is three games. I don't know if it's a lot of
One of these things is
Yep.
not like the other. It's Vagrant Story.
It is, yeah.
Available to wishlist now on Steam, no word of a release date.
Thune.
Soon.
Very, very Thune.
I had this on my wish list, but I haven't bought it nor played it yet. But Keywalker has a physical release announced, and this is sort
Yay!
of a musical RPG.
Yeah. So I actually backed this on Kickstarter. So it's going to be out on consoles and a physical was announced.
Yeah, so the premium edition comes with the game stickers and a digital soundtrack download in the form of a concert ticket. The collector's edition comes with the soundtrack CD, acrylic stand, magnetic pen, double-sided poster, and collector's box.
And I mean, I'm not a big purveyor of physical games, but I feel like Serenity Forge always makes really nice physical editions.
Well, everything's coming up Ezra here today. We missed that Ezra Cannell had reviewed Digimon Story Time Strangers at the meh 2.5, but Keylocker Ezra gave a 3.5.
Ah, good to know.
Interesting. So there's that. The spellcrafting RPG Foundlings has been announced. Mixes
Ooh,
tactical planning with real-time spell execution that makes use of conduit scrolls and potions.
I don't know what to think about this yet.
Me neither.
So it was sort of like, this is the kind of thing that the description is really interesting. The screenshots were like, I love the art style. And I love sort of like the screenshot where the spells and scrolls and stuff are all laid out. But watching the video, I was like, I think I need to maybe see somebody play this before I make any decisions whether I'm gonna want to play it.
Yeah,
Not a big fan
it
of
made
these
me.
fonts here.
Yeah, no, font choices kind of make my eyes bleed.
I can't even read that guy's name. Is it Front or Fant or who knows?
It made me think of early DSRPGs where you had to like use the stylus to cast spells. That was fun at first and then got annoying very quick.
It does get a little schlocky eventually. So what everything else that is sort of involved in this game is going to have to be rock solid, is I think kind of what it boils down to. All right. What
So
else?
there's that. There's Village in the Shade releasing from NIS this fall.
Hey, this is your Pokemon that don't want it as light. They want to live in a village in the
Yeah.
shade.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
it looked like a cozy game at first, but then the trailer kinda implied something more sinister going on.
this is the one where,
It's definitely a 3x3 grid of farming.
yeah, so the sort of shtick to the story in this is sort of like the Lost City or Forgotten City,
Okay.
where it's like there are rules. You have to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, that's very bad. But it is also how you get story progression.
Gotcha. So, I
So,
mean, it looks really cute.
this M. Night
it
Shyamalan's The Village as an RPG.
the RPG.
Don't leave the village. Don't go out at night.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be learning more because this is coming out what at the end of the year? No,
Yeah, fall. This
in the
fall.
middle of the summer. Right, July 30th in Japan and other Asian countries, and then this fall for Europe and North America.
All right.
We should learn more soon. Maybe at a not E3, we'll get some more news about this.
So, is anybody here nostalgic for classic EverQuest?
Oh, dear God, no.
No. But
Well,
I wasn't super into it. I don't know if people remember our old camera guy for all of our expos we used to have, Foxworth. He is super into EverQuest.
EverQuest Legends is coming out in July, and this looks like it's doing what RuneScape Classic is doing,
Oh, okay.
where it's just classic EverQuest. It was
But
really
single player or multiplayer?
fan-driven collaboration designed to give players a new way to experience classic EverQuest is what the
Okay,
story
so that sounds
says.
like online, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Neat.
Yeah,
15 races,
3 classes at a time, 560 possible combinations.
would Chris be interested in this, or is he?
I hope not.
You know what? Never mind. The story didn't happen. It was all a figment of
Yeah, total fever
no.
dream. Chris,
Best
just
that he
tune
was
out of
gone
this
this
part of the
week.
podcast. He's probably sitting in an airport listening to us do this stream right now. So,
Just
hey,
stay
baby,
with
I
your
don't like to
cow.
have you home.
You didn't hear anything. I didn't say anything.
Stay with your
It's all I hear every week. He's still a cow.
He's still a
Still milking
winner,
that game for all
cow.
it's worth.
Oh, Matt,
There's your dad joke.
no.
There's the dad joke.
Matt.
It could have been worse. It
We're
could.
really milking that joke, man.
No!
Oh, it's
I'm gonna
utterly
throw you off
horrible.
the Zoom call.
There's two of
Utterly
them.
horrible.
Oh my God.
Ah, Kelly, save us with more news, please.
War of the Visions Final Fantasy Brave Exvius is shutting down in Japan. It already
So,
shut down here.
yeah, this was kind of like sad because at least a few of my friends had played and really enjoyed this, so it's kind of a bummer to see all versions are going kaputski.
Square Enix taketh and giveth away. They're a
Yeah,
smash. Gotta make room
that's
for
true.
Dragon Quest Smash Grow.
Did we have a story about that, or is that on an RPG?
I
Oh
don't
no,
think it's really an RPG.
it's like Dragon Quest Vampire Survivors. It's the next Dragon Quest mobile game. It's coming out at some point soon.
Well, I do like Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, but I have no faith that it's going to stick around for any
Oh gosh,
period,
no.
extended period of time. Like, they have been shutting down games. Like, this one lasted a very long time.
The Dragon Quest ones
But
are 1 to 2 years tops.
yeah, like, I don't know. I tend to stick to games for longer than 15 to 18 months. And so if it shuts down before I'm finished playing it, I'm just annoyed. Yeah, annoyed. I think that's a good descriptor of it.
So yeah, pour one out for Brave Exvius, another one that I was curious about, and then I had too many currencies and
Yeah, sorry.
yeah.
Ripperonis.
Let's see. Co-op RPG or co-op roguelite dungeon crawler Strength and Sorcery announced.
There's a lot of brown in that first screenshot. That's how many shades?
This feels like one of those games, and I know they're not actually like this, but it does feel like one of those games where someone just put a bunch of genres in a Scrabble bag and shook it, and they just went with whatever tiles fell out.
Yep, that
Yeah, oh
sounds about
jeez.
accurate.
Like, I don't
Nobody.
know. I'm obviously that isn't the case, but a lot of times when you get these sort of like co-op roguelike dungeon crawler action RPG, and it's just like, whoa. Can we like peel this down to 16 layers instead of 25? Pretty please. I'm asking nicely.
The game doesn't need to have all the buzzwords. The only one that's missing is Souls-like.
No, unique art style.
Yeah.
That's the qualifier we're missing
Well, it's because this art style is not great.
today. All
It's not
right.
pixely, but
Done.
I can still see every pixel.
Done bagging on this poor game. What
Eh.
else do you got in the hopper for us, Kelly?
There's a new RPG major pro RPG Maker project revealed.
Cool.
Hey, God.
And it is 2.5D.
Oh, okay. I'm
There.
definitely interested now.
Yep, we got the HD 2D, but we probably can't say that because that's proprietary.
That's
Probably.
copyrighted.
But we can say 2.5D, right?
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, we'll call it Zelda style. Oh, wait, oops.
There you go.
There isn't a good descriptor for this that isn't like a term that a company made up, and it's kind of annoying. Isometric view? Ooh, that just feels icky and awkward and not quite
Yeah,
right.
that's correct, not right, but yeah, you
It
build up
is accurate though.
2D
I
sprites
just
in 3D
thanks,
style
I hate it.
environments. Yep.
So we
We
don't
don't
have
even have a
any
name for
other
this.
information other than, hey, this is coming, and it's based off of the art style that's got a bunch of copyrighted terms that we can't use. So, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Stay tuned for more details.
That could be kind of cool.
I'm excited for this.
We've got a sci-fi tactical RPG Vaunted announced. What about this game? It looks at.
I think this game has the coolest developer name, Hooded Horse. I don't know why that makes me chuckle, but that particular developer name is just like making me smile.
Yeah, set to release on PC later this year and available to wishlist on Steam right now. Not a lot else about the game. Blending turn-based planning with real-time action. Looks kind of XCOM slash Valkyria Chronicles
Indie
coded.
devs, I don't need to know about your game before it even has a release date.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I need to go quite down that particular rabbit hole yet again, so.
Moving on, Hunter the Reckoning Death Wish announced next year. Hunter the Reckoning is part of the World of Darkness tabletop RPG universe. I guess hunters are humans that have discovered supernatural entities and they're trying to track them down to kill them. So,
Yes.
yeah,
What
so
else are you gonna do?
the vampire games you're playing as vampire, and the hunter games you're playing as vampire hunters, I guess.
Yeah, it's very much sort of like a staple of the Hidden in Plain Sight Secret Society, right?
So, it's coming out next year. Not a whole lot of other details. I imagine it's going to play a little bit like the Masquerade games that
I hope so.
I didn't hear good things about Masquerade, the sequel that came out recently.
No, because it had just as many problems as the first game. We
Yeah.
just weren't privy to them because they weren't happening on the internet in public.
So there's that. Blue Reflection Quartet has been announced, set to
So
release for PS5, Switch, and PC on
this
July
is
30th.
kind of really interesting. So this is four of the Blue Reflection games, including the mobile gacha game. I guess they've like Octopath Traveler zeroed it. It's hard to tell because we don't have a ton of details about this yet.
Like four of these, like all together? That's a lot of boobs.
That's a lot of emo gameplay.
Yeah, the Blue Reflection series has been so off my radar, so I don't even know what kind of.
Just one slight correction. It's three games in one anime.
Oh, sorry. Thank
Oh,
you.
okay. You know what? I did see that somewhere, the anime part, yeah.
My bad. So I'm kind of interested in this, simply because I have always sort of looked at the series and been like, this looks like a thing I should get into. Reminds me a little bit of like the visual novel canon, which is like all sads all the time. So I definitely would have to be in the right frame of mind to play this.
See, I wasn't sure what the tone was because the art style looks very, very colorful, but you say it's very grimdark and emo?
That is my understanding of the series. Again, I haven't played them myself, but one of my buddies, Ninji, has. And he definitely has compared it to Canon like a couple of times.
Okay.
So we need Tam to give us like a on the scale of like Neptunia to ecchi to porn, like where does this fall?
Oh no. Oh
See,
no. Are
I've
we
not
about to
actually
have
played
like
it.
an
I do own it, but we
official
do have a
test?
review of the first game.
Oh.
Because, like, when I think Grimdark, I think like Death and Request.
So maybe not grim dark, maybe just like sads.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe that better. All right.
I love the
That's
chart here.
coming
There's like flow
in July,
charts
right?
galore. Like, there's one here with four different colors with all the characters. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so confused.
If your game needs a flow chart, that's, I don't know, not
Is
promising.
it which ones are in all four games? Is that what it is? They all flow from this person? Who knows? All right, next.
Save this for myself, please, Kelly.
Wayfinder Studios announces Wildheart. What is special about this? Co-op
Wasn't
action RPG built around smaller game or smaller campaigns.
I think
I'm so confused. Wasn't there a game called Wild Heart like a couple of
it
years
wasn't it
ago?
Wild Hearts was like a Monster Hunter.
Oh,
Yes.
okay.
Wild Hearts S, they like brought it back as a, I think it was supposed to be live service and then it
Yeah.
didn't, but like it came out on the Switch as just a complete not live service anymore.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. I am
No,
remembering
no, no.
this.
No, I heard that. I was the same thing when I saw that picture. I'm like, that's not what I'm thinking of, Wild Hearts. That
Yeah.
looks CRPG stuff there. So, yep, similar name, different.
But wasn't it also a co-op action RPG? Or am I misremembering that part of
No,
it?
I believe you're correct because it was like an
Okay. It was
online.
Monster Hunter.
It was Monster
Yeah,
Hunter, but
okay.
it was like online co-op Monster Hunters or something like that. So,
Okay.
yeah. This looks more like online co-op D&D.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I wonder
Yes,
if this
that.
is going to be similar to like Final Fantasy Explorers.
Maybe I don't know. It looks like a generic CRPG to me.
Yeah, that's exactly. I with those things, these could be like from 20 years ago
Good to
with my
know.
Windows 98 machine or something.
I
But
have the
yeah.
hiccups. I will try not to hiccup into my microphone too much.
I have a purring cat that's trying to get my attention. Yes, Frankie, you're very cute.
And Matt has a kiddo that has stolen his Switch 2 and will never ever give it back.
I am not going to see that. That thing's going to be pokeified.
Yeah,
You know what? I would go buy a Switch 2 today for myself instead of just the family. I want one. I want a different one. I don't want the black one. Just for the heck of it. I
you're
need a new
waiting
color
for a
already.
color variant to come out?
Or a Pokemon one or a something. Yes. Would love one.
Yeah, I got the Pokemon one. The physical Switch 2 itself isn't any different. It just came with
Correct. I know.
the
I
ZA.
almost bought
So
myself that for Christmas and then I was like, oh, it's just
it's not actually different. Yeah.
correct. Yeah.
Wait till they do a new Zelda game. They'll do a variant.
Ooh, that would not surprise me. And that would be very cool.
And well, I'm not a Zelda fan. I would buy that just to make sure I can tell mine apart.
I wonder if that would be the thing that gets Chris to buy a Switch 2. We'll see. Do you have some release
New
dates for us,
question of the week.
Kels?
What would get Chris to buy a Switch 2?
Put that one in your pocket too. All right.
Okay.
Hit us with release dates. Pretty please.
Mammon King has come out on PS5. I
Is
guess this
this,
was.
wasn't this like the River King series or something?
What?
I don't
From.
know.
Hang on.
That. It's
I
a.
looked at all of these stories earlier. No.
No, this is just mon. This is
This
just
is definitely
monster
not.
raising.
Inspired by titles including Monster Rancher, Mammon
Yeah.
King sees players raise and trains monsters known as Mammon that have been summoned from another world. Mammons take part in one-on-one command-based battles with players aiming to win tournaments to become the Mammon King. 38 different types of Mammons, utilizing over 170 skills. It looks like it's sort of a card battler that it had, but it has graphics like the original Brigandine on PlayStation 1. It's kind of fascinating.
Oh, either way, it's for PS5 now, if you were waiting for a PS5 version of this particular game.
Oh, that's right. This is the one that I was looking at when it came out last December, and I wasn't sure if they were ever going to do a Switch 2 native version. So I think that's what I'm waiting for in this one because I do have it on my wish list on the Switch. So I am looking forward to this at least. River King original name.
Yeah, it's something completely different. I don't know why that name like made me think of the River King. Just the word king, like seriously, I don't know.
So River King, I think the raw translation is something like fishing master. But
I
it's
was
been a
way off.
long time since I can't even. I think the last River King game that I worked on didn't even come out because there was a canceled game that I'm actually NDA'd from talking about. So.
Oh, hey, I looking at the wiki right here, I might know which one that was.
Carrying
2006,
on.
canceled for the Wii and
Carrying on.
PSP. Yep.
Carrying on.
Pokemon Champions hitting Switch on April 2nd or April 8th. This is a free to start competitive battle game. Also planned to release on iOS and Android. What kind of battle is this? Just a
Just.
rent Pokemon and fight kind of game?
I mean, my dilemma with this was like, other than being Pokemon, what sets this apart from like all of the other battlers that the kids are already playing?
I guess this is like a free to start version of Pokemon Stadium because the article says players can transfer Pokemon they've obtained from the games as well as Go through the home app into this game and then fight them online. They can also recruit one random Pokemon a day, which is available for 1 week and only usable in Pokemon Champions. So.
Yeah, this is the game where you can transfer stuff out of stadium to it, but can't transfer stuff out of it to stadium, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
something like that.
Or home, I think it would
Yeah,
be.
sorry, home.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Battling Pokemon is my least favorite thing in
Mine
Pokemon.
too.
Like it's there, cool, whatever, but I'd rather do the collecting and the exploring and all the other stuff.
It does sort of feel like this is what they're going to use for like gaming championships moving forward
Yeah,
and
that's
in
what the
tournaments.
article I could see
Says.
that.
Oh, is that what it says? Okay.
Oh, right there. It will be used as a primary platform for Pokemon video game championships.
I had said a couple of years ago to a friend of mine that works at Pokemon that they should do something like this. And no, I don't think that they did it because I said so. But I do think it's really interesting that they had the same idea that I did.
So it's divorced from the mainline games and just its own thing, but
And
it's
so that they
still.
can control for like cheating better.
Yeah, because I imagine
That's
cheating is
becoming a
pretty.
problem.
I imagine cheating is pretty rampant.
Well, and the dilemma that you have is like there is a degree of plausible deniability where if you say to someone, hey, this Pokemon that you have was a hacked Pokemon, and they say, well, I didn't make it, I didn't raise it, I had my friend, hatch a whole bunch of Pokemon and give me the best one out of the set. Like,
How do you go back and
how do you disprove that?
I got it on a Wonder Trade.
Yeah,
We
exactly.
still have Wonder Trades.
So that I understand completely why they've decided to, sort of like gate this a little bit, for lack of a better phrasing. But we'll see how well it works.
Let's see what else. Oh, Hades 2 is coming to PS5 and Xbox.
Hooray! Yeah, it was a timed exclusive for Switch 2, right?
So now, if you haven't played it on PC or Switch 2, now you can play it on your PS5 or Xbox.
Yeah, it's coming to Xbox as well, right?
One of the best games last year. I don't know where it ranked in our Game of the Year.
The Game One RP Gamer's Best Action RPG Award for 2025. We got to keep reading these last sentences. We put a
My
lot into that
bad.
last sentence. We're answering a lot of questions just with the five sentence.
Sorry,
Read the
that's what
first, read the
happens with
last, fake the rest.
that. Oh, and it's coming out on April 14th. See,
Correct.
I know we've got a time limit, so I'm trying to blaze through a little bit. Thank you, Matt.
It's biting
Hey,
us
you're
in the
doing
butt.
well. Keeping
It's
me
fine.
honest. The Expanse Osiris Reborn gets a closed beta and a spring 2027 release window.
So this is from the TV show slash book series, The Expanse.
Think so?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I mean,
The
the
way that it's
article
worded,
says.
it says the expanse colon. It's like, yeah, sounds like it would be from that literary slash
I
Amazon TV show
haven't watched
series.
TV in so
Oh,
long.
The Expanse: Osiris Reborn is billed as expanding upon the universe depicted in the Expanse TV and novel series, which is set in the future. You know what? It's not the last sentence, but it's the beginning of the last paragraph. I had to read
The name of
backwards
this
to
podcast just needs to be
get
RTFM.
the.
See, I wasn't sure if the TV show was canceled or not,
It
because
completed.
okay,
I don't think it's as canceled as much as we've done all this stuff.
because it wasn't the big draw to the series is that it was meant to be kind of a multimedia crossover type thing. I don't know.
I am the wrong
That
person to be on for this.
yeah, I got no idea. There was
Someone
ten.
who's listening to the show, help us out.
I'm surprised Tam hasn't come in.
It seems like the novel series ended, so maybe they just did all the novels and that was it. Like they had 10 novels or 9 novels from 2011 to 2021, so it's been 5 more years, so they're done with that.
I think it's okay to be done with things.
Yeah, it doesn't go on forever. They didn't expand. Wah, wah.
Yeah, the beta is going to begin on April 22nd and is going to be available for PC, PS5, and Xbox. And yeah, more Expanse.
It's not anime, I don't care.
There you go.
Andy said that, and I'm like, I don't know where the Tam connection is on this one, but everybody had clothes on. It was clearly Western. I mean,
What? I am being thrown under the bus and I am outraged.
Well, maybe this is more your speed, Tam. Withering Waves is coming to Xbox in July. Free-to-play action RPG that's on PS5 and iOS and Android and PC right now. Game Pass members will also receive unspecified benefits in the game, and it's probably a Genshin Impact clone.
Okay, and we have one game coming into Steam Early Access.
We did skip. We skipped a story.
What?
Ascend to
What did we
Zero
miss?
releasing in
Right.
July.
Oh, yes,
I
it
haven't,
is.
yeah.
It is set in the aftermath of a collapsed technological civilization.
Yeah,
Never heard that
it
one
looks kind of
before.
like Hades. Actually, it looks exactly like Hades, just sci-fi.
Sci-fi post-apocalyptic Hades.
Yeah.
Wow, that, yeah, yep,
I
that
don't hate
does.
the concept.
The game has a demo right now on Steam if you're curious about it.
Beat the clock.
Might have to check that out.
It's going to come out on July 13th. And then finally, the Steam Early Access Deckland, a looks like a card game.
Yeah.
What?
Named
So,
Deckland. A rogue-like deck builder, because we haven't had enough of those.
Oh, wow,
I will
finally.
say that this looks really cute.
Yeah, the art looks nice.
And so, like, I love the aesthetics of how this is looking so far. And because of that, I am interested in playing it, but I did put it on my wish list because I want to play games when they're done and finished and ready for me to jump into them and play them to completion.
I love how they're like walking along the water, and the water reflection in a lot of these screenshots is beautiful.
Is neat. Is
Yeah, it's
and
even
it reflects
it's a
even the
little
numbers
wavy.
and stuff.
Yeah,
Yep.
like everything's reflected, and you can tell that it's not just mirroring it. They've got an effect in there to make it look like it's water.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I am looking forward to seeing how this game develops. Like I said, I did pop it on my wish list. Definitely interested in engaging with it further once it is, 1.0.
I'll wait till
Yep.
1.2.
You have to one up me, don't you, Matt?
Oh, they're gonna have a DLC with some more cards and an extra layer, extra
Oh,
level, and
yeah,
I
no,
will get the combo pack when that goes on sale. So
that's a fair point. Yeah.
that's why I'm waiting for Monster Train 2 to be done with its,
Oh yeah, I went back and replayed some Monster Train 1 recently, and I'm like super into the Wyrmkin faction now.
Oh
I'm
yeah, that
having
was
a
a fun one.
lot of fun with that build. So many bugs and little nibbly things, and I eat them all.
Yep. Oh, I loved that. I did that this summer. I waited. I got the whole pack, all the DLC, and my goal was to maximize every race. because you get the
So
experience of
there's an
it.
Apple
That.
Arcade version of it, and that's what I've been playing.
Okay.
It does have the Divine expansion. I don't know if there are any other expansions.
I think there was only the one.
Yeah, so it's got everything. Like some stuff for Apple Arcade, it has everything, and some stuff for Apple Arcade, it doesn't. Kind of depends on what the agreements are for it. So, like, there's no licensed DLC for Vampire Survivors for Apple Arcade. So, like, there's no Among Us, there's no Castlevania. But you can still play the base game and the native expansions. All right. New releases. One that I don't remember hearing about last week, Trash Goblins hit Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5, and Nintendo Switch. So I actually kickstarted that, so I should figure out where my code is and pop that onto my Switch.
Oh
Coming
yeah,
out.
I played that on PC and it was really good. The one where you're a goblin and you're upcycling. That was a really good game.
So I have been looking forward to it. And now I am going to be able to finally get to play it on my console of choice.
Yay.
Other games coming out this week, Stellar Tactics is hitting Windows, Tomb Raider also hitting Windows, and Aether and Iron is hitting Windows and Mac. So throwing a bone to the Mac players this week. Little bit
Woohoo.
of editorial content for you this week. We have a review of Ariana and the Elder Codex, and it is 3 out of 5 by Jordan McLean. Really liked the storybook-like visuals and how the stories are heartfelt with great voice acting and good bosses. However, he wasn't very fond of the enemy variety. The story had very predictable twists. There was a lot of text dumping, and elemental bursts trivialized enemy combat. So you can read his review of that. We also have a review of Wiz Man's World Retry. So one of the things that Chris and I decided to do this year for longtime staff is get some people some hardware upgrades that they needed. So we got Gaijin a Steam Deck.
Oh,
And
cool.
so you are going to be seeing quite a few reviews for him. Not necessarily full-on reviews, but some thought, food for thought on various Steam games that he was unable to play because they just unfortunately made his old laptop choke. This one, he did play it on the Nintendo Switch. But he 3.5 out of 5 for this one, complained about minimal plot, a lack of healing items and persistent typos. But he did like the overhauled UI worked much better on the Switch screen. I believe he played this originally on the DS. Yes. And
Yeah.
he, sorry, go
All his screenshots are in Japanese, so
ahead.
was it localized to Japanese, or am I missing, or maybe these just press photos that he had?
Well, if he has a Japanese Switch, it may have just defaulted to Japanese,
I don't know.
even though it doesn't.
But I just see that like certain persistent typos in the localization, and I'm like looking at all the screenshots. I'm like, what localization this is? Oh, that's neither here or there.
Because like Vaughn has an alternate account on his Switch to play stuff in Japanese.
Aha. The localization is not without minor faults. In particular, it has regular errors such as using conscience instead of conscience or tenants instead of tenets. Yeah, this is the stuff that when I listen to audiobooks, I have to be really, really attuned to. So that would drive me crazy. I felt really bad. I did a book last year, 84 mispronunciations of Viscount. It is not Viscount. Yes, so complained about some things, but did like the new Switch UI, liked the new Switch sprites, and did enjoy the combat loop. So read his review for more info. We did have an impression of Wild Heart with a Y that comes from our amazing editor-in-chief, Alex Fuller. Go ahead and give that a read. He seems pretty optimistic.
A lot of
So
promise.
that's, yeah. The other demo impression that we had this week is from Dalandar playing Robot Recycler Rin. So this is done by Rablo Games, who made Healer's Quest, and I really, really loved
Oh.
Healer's Quest. That was such a dorky little game. It was fantastic. The writing was so snide and snarky. I was 100% here for it. So I did read through this demo impression. I am excited for this. A
So I've
lot of
talked
their
to Dalandar about this one because was it 2 years ago? They came out with Necromancer, NecroQuest, or something like that.
That was not for me.
No, I went since I was waiting on the code. I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." Then I was like, "Oh, you might get the code in about 3 weeks." I was like, "Oh, well." In that time, I bought Healer's Quest, played through it because it's, 10 hours or less. Loved it. Everything you just said was great. And then, yeah, the Necro one was definitely like a full point lower in my estimation. Like, meh. I don't know. They didn't have enough talking, and then there was a big plot thing at one point that just. You couldn't get the best ending because you made a choice in like hour two that locked you out of being able to get a good ending in hour 12. Like,
Oh,
and it was more
it's
like,
the
ha ha, remember?
did you say
And
hello to the person in the Moogle suit 15 minutes into the
exactly.
game? It's
Yes.
not
And it
99.7% complete.
even showed you like a video in like black and white. It was like, remember this part? And you picked this? Oh, guess what?
That was the wrong choice.
Yep, which whatever, I got to see credits. I was not invested in that game, so it wasn't like, oh, boo-hoo. But still, it was like, what a cruddy got in.
Well,
And
you had to
then,
do.
and here 2 years later, that's what I mainly remember about that game. And other than
Is
it, and it wasn't as funny until the end. It just didn't have the right, there wasn't enough writing was what it was. The writing was all funny, but I felt like it was funny throughout in the
in
Healer's
Healer's
Quest.
Quest, yep.
And then they just didn't have that for like 6 hours, and you get to like some realm of angels or whatever, and they were so snarky with each other and snarky with you, and it was hilarious the last 3 or 4 hours. But it was like, what? Where was that? Like, where was that the rest of the game? So,
Oh, you wanted it the whole game. Ugh, that's
oh
very
yeah, yep.
demanding, Matt. How
You know,
dare you have expectations?
it was the reverse of, and I know you'll get this because we've played the what were the monster games? We had a backtrack on it.
Nexomon?
Nexomon.
Nexomon.
So it felt like if you had played Nexomon 2 first and you had that snide little guy with you the whole time,
Sidekick. Yeah, and then go
and
back to
then
the
in
first game.
Nexomon 1, you kind of got like a little robot at the end towards the game that had some funny writing. And but you can see where Nexomon 2 was made because, like, oh my God, everybody loved this part of Nexomon 1. Let's put that, let's make that a full game feature. Whereas the Healer's Quest, NecroQuest was the opposite way. It was like, hey, we did this great stuff the first time, and we're just going to toss it in at the end of the second game.
Oof. Yeah, it just in general didn't look like my vibe. It looked like it was going to be just like a little too creepy for me to enjoy. So I am, after reading the impression for Robot Recycler Rin, it does feel a lot like Healer's Quest, where your choices are a predominantly high risk, high reward. Like you can't play conservatively. So we'll see how that hits. So I don't, does this have a release date yet?
Well,
I don't
it seems
think
quickly though.
so.
Seems pretty quick for this is a very small studio, and
They have been turning around games pretty quickly.
yeah, like Heroes Quest is like 10 years old, but the Necro was only 2 or something like that.
Yeah, so this was showed off about 6 months ago at the Indie Live Expo, so.
Yeah, so 2018 for Healer's Quest, and then it was just like 2024 for Necro, so this is a much tighter window. Necro Story, that was it, wasn't it?
So I'm stoked for this. Bring it on.
Interesting.
I want to hear more. So that's all of our news for this week.
Woohoo!
Matt, what are you going to play next week?
You know, I'm gonna play a little bit more of the Voyager, but I really think I need to I'll probably go up to the end of the demo. I really need to get on Nelki. Tellier Nelki and Octopath
For your
Zero will be
April
my pair.
show,
Yes. And
give us
also,
the elevator pitch for RPG Backtrack.
well, you know, if you don't like playing games or have ever been angry at a game, wait until April 1st when we record about some of our irredeemable games that we've played.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's going to be an interesting show. Please tell me you have wheels on.
He wanted to be on, yeah.
Yes.
We will wait for him.
Listening to him eviscerate games is awesome.
Because he would when I announced the day for the show, he was like, and saying that if you want to bitch about a game, you're welcome to be on. He went just one, and I said, well, Paws wanted me to, keep the show pretty tight.
I might have to bring two because honestly, I think any game that I complain about, it's going to be like 5 minutes. This was cruddy. This was cruddy. I don't remember much about this because I didn't want to interact. And there you go. I'm done with my one episode.
Well, I
We'll
thought
see.
I
He
was.
might be more verbose than me. So, but I'll tell you what, the two or three games I'm thinking of, I'm like, yeah, I can't talk more than 2 or 3 minutes about it. It was so empty.
I thought I was gonna go back to my old favorite hatred of Lunar, Dragon Song, but
Oh, that
then
game was so
remembered
bad.
I did play something recently that was awful. I say recently, it was like 3 years ago.
Recently.
That honestly made me think that the volume was going out on my PlayStation slash
Oh, I
TV.
remember
Oh,
hearing about
I
that.
remember this.
Yeah.
Okay. Teasers for the next RPG backtrack.
Even though I've already said it at least once.
Right. So, Kells, what are you going to be playing this week?
More Pocopia, though I'm gonna try to start up Monster Hunter Stories 3. Just because I am itching to play that.
All right. I am going to be gathering up my hammers in Last Asylum, because our server is now big enough to do alliance versus alliance. So two guilds compete against each other to do specific tasks on specific days. So saving up all my hammers and firing them all off on tomorrow. Saving all of my grapes and leveling up my raven on Tuesday. Looking forward to that. And of course, more Octopath Traveler Zero. It sounds like I'm going to have to very soon stop doing the town building and continue with the main story, but I'm going to take it as far as I can before I do that because the town building is a lot of fun and it's the part of the game that wasn't in COTC, so it's the most interesting to
Oh,
me.
so that's new to you. Like what NBC used to say, if you haven't seen it before, it's new to you.
Yeah, so I have played through the current story arc in COTC. The story that comes after this arc is going to be completely new to me. And of
Oh.
course, all of this town building is very new to me. So that is what I'm playing. And I think that's the show.
I think so.
Woohoo! Thank you, Kels.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dale North, for our amazing intro outro music. Thank you, Forecast, for doing our encoding. And thank you, listener, for sticking around while we talked about RPGs of the week. And we will see you guys next time. Bye,
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.